Hello and welcome back once again to A Place to Grow. Every weekday, Pastor Stephen R. Hill of Spirit Life Church in Hurst, Texas has a life-changing message that will help you to determine God's destiny for your life. This program will help you to identify and use the gifts that God has given you. God has a wonderful plan for your life. Now here's Pastor Steve.
Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 7. We have our text this morning. And it states, "Now when Jesus had entered the city of Capernaum, a Roman centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, 'Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed in terrible pain.' And Jesus said to the soldier, 'I will come and heal him.'" The title of my message today is "Help is on the way." Can you say that? Come on, say it. Help is on the way. Throughout the Bible, we see God's willingness to heal us and to help us. In fact, the entire Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, are committed to the spiritual, physical, and emotional healing of every person. The Bible says in Acts chapter 10 and 38, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. I'm going to change microphones because I hear a ring. I don't know if you hear it or not, but we're going to change. God wants you healed today. I'm going to say this again. You know, sometimes we are not quite sure what God is doing in our lives and why he allows things, and sometimes we try to figure it out ourselves. Sometimes we hear all kinds of teachings, and it makes us not to really expect a lot from God. But I'm here to tell you what the Bible says today. God wants you healed today wherever you're hurting. Now, there are many people who portray God as a judge waiting to sentence us to punishment. They say he's the one who causes suffering from in humanity. God is sending the pain upon the earth. But listen, God is just the opposite of the picture that the devil attempts to paint of him. Listen to what God says to Moses when he revealed his character to him in Exodus chapter 34 and verse 5. God said, "I am the Lord, the merciful and gracious God. I am slow to anger and rich in steadfast love and truth. I show this steadfast love to many thousands by forgiving their sins." In Deuteronomy chapter 7 and 9, it says, "Understand, therefore, that the Lord your God is the faithful God, who for 1,000 generations keeps his promises and constantly loves those who love him and who obey his commands." Now, I want you to do this. I want you to put your hand on your chest. Come on, let's all do it. And say, "God loves me. He really does. God is merciful. God is gracious. He is slow to anger, and he is rich in his love toward me." Now, if you really believe that, give the Lord a hand of praise for his love for you. See, I'm here to tell you this morning that regardless of what you're going through, help is on the way. Now, there are many people suffering silently inside. Can we talk today? Because I want you to really be honest with God today. I know many times when you begin to share with people what you're really going through, sometimes they look up in the sky in the other direction like they're not really concerned. But I want to tell you about a God who's concerned about you. And since you're in his house, you need to just let the mask down. You need to just be real this morning. You see, because there are many people who are suffering silently inside, who think that maybe nobody cares. But I want to tell you today that God knows the difficulties that you're going through. And he does care. He personally cares about you today. In Isaiah 43 and verse 1, it says, "But now thus says the Lord who created you and he who formed you, don't be afraid, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine." Listen, you're not just a number to God. He knows your name. He saw you when you were in your mother's womb being developed. And even then, he loved you. And he prepared a plan for your life that is so good and wonderful that you will find as you surrender every part of your life to him. Now, I have to tell you, frankly, there are two plans. There's a plan that the devil has, and there's a plan that God has. The Bible says that God's plans are good to give us a future and to give us a hope. But the devil's plans are to destroy your life. You find God's plans by reading this book. You find the devil's plan by simply going by your emotions, by your logic and your reason, because he's the one who's giving you all the suggestions of the flesh. Now, God is with you through every trial of life, regardless of what you think. Even when you may not feel or sense him there, he's there. He's always there. It goes on to say in verse 2 of Isaiah 43, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire," and you will, "you shall not be burned, nor shall the flames scorch you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. I'm your Savior. I'm your deliverer. I'm your helper." You don't have to fear what life places in front of you, because I'm with you, says the Lord. See, God is with us through every trial, and he understands everything that we're going through. The Bible says that Jesus himself was a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. I'd love to tell you that the Christian walk is one where we tiptoe through the tulips and everything is wonderful. That's not so. The Bible says that a man's life is filled with sorrow and trouble. That's true. The Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous. Yes, yes, even we do everything right, there's still trouble. There's still problems. There's still hurt in the lives in which we live. But God makes us a promise. "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but I will deliver you out of them all," says the Lord. Somebody say amen. Jesus suffered firsthand so that he would understand your problems and your difficulties in life. In Hebrews chapter 2 and 18, it says, for since he himself has now been through suffering and temptation, he knows what it's like when we suffer, when we're tempted, and he is able to help us. See, God knows your disappointments and your insecurities. He knows your sorrow and your loneliness. He sees the tears that stain your pillow at night, and he wants you to know that he's there for you. He's always there. He wants you to know today that help is on the way. Now, I'm going to begin to talk about just a few subjects. We'll see how far we get. We'll let the Holy Spirit guide us, but I'm talking to you today. Look at your neighbor and say, God is talking to you today, and God is talking to me. Let me begin by saying this. God wants you healed. He wants you healed spiritually, physically, and emotionally. I want to talk about physical healing first. In 3 John 2, it says, beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health. It is the will of God that we maintain good health. In fact, it was God's original plan for humanity to live forever without sickness and disease. Did you know that? Let me show it to you in the Bible. See, the Bible shows us that God placed a tree of life in the Garden of Eden for Adam and Eve to partake of so that they would live forever. Listen, Genesis 2 and 9, it says, and the Lord God planted all sorts of trees in the garden, beautiful trees that produce delicious fruit. And at the center of the garden, he placed the tree of life. Now, in Genesis 3 and 22, it says, if they ate of the fruit of the tree of life, then they would live forever. That was God's plan. However, you know the story. Adam's disobedience introduced sin, sickness, and death in humanity. God did not do that. That was the disobedience of man. But the Bible tells us Jesus Christ brought salvation and healing.
Thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. Here's Pastor Steve with a special invitation for you.
Hi, this is Pastor Steve. Don't minimize how God is going to direct your life and what you are capable of accomplishing. You know, the Bible says, God is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask and think. To know God's direction, you must surrender to his will and to his plan. I want to personally invite you to our worship service this Sunday at 10 a.m. It's one of the ways that I know that you're listening. I would love to shake your hand and pray for you. I am certain that the service will encourage you and prepare you for the coming week. A church that's alive is worth the drive.
Spirit Life Church is located in the middle of the Mid-Cities at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst. We offer a safe environment. Get more information at our website, aplacetogrow.org. Now let's get back into today's message.
In Romans 5 and 18, it says, yes, Adam's sin brought punishment to all, but Christ's righteousness makes men right with God so that they can live. 1 Peter 2 and 24 says, he personally carried away our sins in his own body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live righteous lives. You have been healed by his stripes and his wounds. Now, Jesus Christ suffered and died for our healing. I want you to repeat that because you need to hear yourself even saying it. Jesus Christ died and suffered that I might be healed in every way. Listen to what Isaiah 53 and 4 says in the original language. Surely he has carried away our sicknesses. He's carried away our diseases. He's carried away our pain. The next verse says, by his bruises and his wounds, we are cured, made whole, healed. How many of you believe the word of God? That's what it says. There is no dispensation on healing. The Bible says, he forgave all of mine iniquities. He healed all of my diseases. When God stops forgiving your sins, then and only then will he stop healing you. Numbers 23 and 19 says, God is not a man that he should lie. He is not a human that he should change his mind. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? Has he ever promised and not carried it through? See, the word of God states he still heals and he wants to heal you. I don't know what your physical condition is today, but help is on the way. Now you may ask, boy, that's great news. How can I receive my healing? I want to give you four basic things required for healing. You may want to write these down. Number one, faith in Christ as Savior and healer. It says in John 3 and 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that anyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God did not send his son into the world to condemn it but to save it. The word saved in that verse is the Greek word sozo. That word literally means to heal. It means to make whole. Healing comes as a result of what Jesus did for us on the cross. Salvation qualifies us for healing, and then you must believe what the Word of God says. Now, I want to show you something here and something for you to consider. Salvation and healing are received in similar ways. It's not by feeling that causes you to know that you've received salvation, that you've been born again. No, it's by your faith in the Word of God and confession. Let me give you an illustration. I received Jesus Christ when I was a young boy, and I felt nothing. Frankly, I was sitting in the back of the church playing with one of my friends. And this young man, he was so used to the church service that he knew that at the end of the service, there would always be an altar call. And it appears he would go every Sunday. Now, I didn't know this. This was my first time at church. So when the pastor is finished talking, I have no idea what he was talking about. My friend got up and said, let's go. I looked at him and said, go where? He said, to the front of a church. We need prayer. And he took my hand, and the next thing I knew, I was walking down the aisle to the front of the church. And people were looking at me, smiling. And the pastor said these words, oh, praise God, not just a soul being saved, but a life being saved for God. Well, I got up to the front, and then they broke us out to speak with people. I ended up speaking to the young man who was my Sunday school teacher. He told me all about Jesus and everything, and I prayed the prayer, and I did believe. I believe that something happened. But at age 9, I thought salvation was a fire escape. But that's pretty good theology for a nine-year-old, don't you think? So the pastor had people stand up and give their testimony. He made everybody who got born again stay in the front. And so it came my turn. And he said, tell us, young man, what has the Lord done for you? He said, well, he saved me, and I'm on my way to heaven. I'm not going to hell. Thank God. That was my testimony. Well, the following week on Sunday, the pastor, in his altar call, sometimes he would have the whole congregation stand, and then he would say, now, every person who was born again and knows Jesus as Savior, sit down. And, of course, that would just leave the people who didn't know the Lord standing up, and you are stuck. I need to try that sometime. I have never tried that yet. That's a great idea. My pastor had a lot of wisdom. Well, in between that time where people were sitting, I was going down and coming up and going down, and I would just sit down every time. But truthfully, I wasn't sure. I never felt anything. I didn't feel a thing. So I'm wondering, how do you really know? Remember, I'm nine. My theology is not that good. But I figure I should feel something if I've been changed. And I had been changed. I was acting nicer toward the boys and the girls, so something must have happened to me. But I was perplexed every time that altar call came. Finally, one Sunday, I said, you know what? I prayed the prayer. I read the scripture. I asked Jesus in my heart. I believe what the Bible says. I'm sitting down. And folks, as God is my witness, as I sat down, I felt something. I said, I am born again. But it taught me a lesson. The lesson is this. Whatever the Bible says we are, we are. It has nothing to do with feeling. But if you agree with the Bible and believe it, the results will follow. The Bible says in Romans 10 and 9, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and you are saved. Now, after telling you this illustration, I want you to understand something. Healing works the same way. Do not allow your physical condition to determine whether or not you believe that you've been healed or not. Oh, I hope you're listening to me today. Believe and accept God's word. Stop trusting in your condition and start believing what the Bible says. It's so important for you to understand that salvation in healing is based on faith in the Word of God. If God says by his stripes you are healed, then believe that Jesus is your healer and claim that in your life and expect to see a change.
This concludes part one of the message today. Join us tomorrow for part two.
Thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. If you were touched by the message today, consider going to our website and making a donation of any size. Your generous donation can help keep our radio ministry alive. Visit our website at aplacetogrow.org and contribute today. You can also download a copy of today's message by navigating to the Media tab.
The title of today's message is Help is on the Way, Part 1.
Now Pastor Steve wants to pray with you.
Thank you for listening to A Place to Grow. I want to encourage you that God has a plan for your life, regardless of how things may be going right now, the difficulties and the circumstances and situations you may find yourself in. I want to encourage you to know that God will help you. He will deliver you. He will make a way. Let's pray together. Father, I want to thank you for these faithful listeners.
And I'm asking you right now in the name of your son, Jesus, that you would move on their behalf. Whatever the situation is, change it. Whatever the need is, meet the need. Bless them, my Father, I pray. Draw us closer to you, even as we continue to pray and to seek you for your direction in our lives. Bless us today, in Jesus' name. I believe that God has great things in store for your life. So keep on praying and believing, and keep listening to A Place to Grow. God bless you today.
Thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. You're always invited to join us for our Spirit-filled worship service every Sunday morning at 10. We offer a safe environment. Spirit Life Church is located at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst, Texas. Get more information at our website, aplacetogrow.org. Also, remember to be with us every weekday at 4 p.m. and Sunday afternoons at 2:30, right here on Bible School Radio 91.3 KDKR.